Cruelty card, we're going to continue. It's the Lord with what we're looking at. In Ephesians, we began a new section. Less words, more experience. Praise God. We're going to have less words. That is to say, talking rather than experience. I'm sure from this, obviously, great testimonies will arise. But less words, more experience. We're looking in chapter 4. We began looking at the implications, the importance to the believer of the fact that our Lord ascended. What does his ascension mean? How does it affect us? One thing to have the theology, but praise God, what does it mean to the believer? Now we're going to find out, we're looking in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're starting in verse 8, in this particular, what we're looking at. And it's the one thing to say that, you know, we know from our theology that the Lord has ascended, he's seated at the right hand of God. But how does that affect us? What does it mean? It's as important to the believer, faith in the resurrection, faith in the ascension, in Christ's ascension is as important to us. So, praise God, let's open up some of the scriptures. We gave a lot of scriptures last week. And I want to sort of open that up a bit more, look at them in more depth, in more detail, and look at some others. So here we go, chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting with verse 8. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? We looked at that last time, if you remember, 1 Peter 3:18, where he proclaimed his victory to the spirits in prison, praise God. So the righteous had their life, their eternal life with him confirmed, and the unrighteous had their doom confirmed through that. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. They're lying in wait, friends. They are, King James has it, lying in wait, and they are. They're just waiting for the gullible to be taken to take advantage of them. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Praise God. Over the next few weeks, there's a lot there, isn't there, that the Lord's going to bless us with. But we're looking now in verse 8, the ascension, his ascension. He's seated at the right hand of God. What does that mean for us? And I want to sort of continue where we were looking last week. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. Now don't stumble over the fact, I mean we've just read it obviously, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. There is a counterfeit of this, the JDS people, some of you may have heard of, who say he went to hell, he had to be born again. In hell, that's you have to have a deceiving spirit to believe that. What the scriptures say is that at the time of his burial physically, his body was in the tomb, and obviously then when he rose again as well, we know the bodily resurrection, praise God, so we have to make that clear. But at that time he went in his spirit, he went spiritually into, not hell, because hell doesn't exist, praise God, at the moment. It will do, it's being made sort of eternally, but at the moment, right, there isn't a hell in that sense, is there? It's being prepared for the devil and his angels and those who choose to follow him. He proclaimed what Sheol Hades is what I'm getting to. The intermediate state is what we're looking at. The place of departed human spirits, the dead, the humans that have died, whether righteous or unrighteous. Jesus went there and proclaimed the gospel. He proclaimed his victory on the cross so that the righteous dead, now know, praise God, they have a glory to look forward to. The unrighteous dead know that they have a shame, a corruption, a doom that awaits them because of their sin. But what I want to look at in verse 18, Christ also suffered, 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, or in the place of the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And this is what I want to emphasize in these teachings, that personal, actual experience. He's now fulfilling his high priestly ministry. He has brought us to God. He has brought us into the presence of God. He has caused us to experience God. Now his name, his earthly name, one of his earthly names, praise God, we know him, Jesus, but Emmanuel, God with us. So he's not only brought us to God, he's brought God to us. Praise God, we have that experience. This is why we're calling it less words and more experience. There is a countenance upon us, it's God's presence, his blessing upon our life, our faith, our obedience, is his presence, the greatest redemptive blessing. We are united with deity. We are joined to God, joined to Christ, united with him. He has brought us to God, he's brought God to us. Our prayers are to be heavenly. I trust our prayers are going higher than the ceiling this evening because we know to whom we are speaking. We know he hears our prayers because of our faith in the blood of Jesus. This is no light thing. Perhaps, praise God, in a sense it's a good sign. It's almost we're taking it for granted. We're accepting it. But yeah, well, this is it. Of course it is. It's a living relationship. God with us and us with God. Us not only having access to the Father, but abiding in his presence through what Jesus has done, through our faith in him and what he's done. But it's worth stirring up those memories, isn't it? Reminding what God has provided. That we are actually seated in him, with him, in those heavenly places, at the right hand of God. So he's not only brought us to God in that high priestly sense, but he's brought God to us. Praise God. Now what does this mean then? Let's look further at this in Romans chapter 8. We're talking about how it is that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. What does it mean? Well, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, who is he? Paul is setting forth this great revelation. Who is he who condemns? Nobody can condemn us. Why? Because it's Christ who died, so there's the death, the crucifixion. Furthermore, he's also risen. There's that resurrection. And here we go. Who is even at the right hand of God. There's that ascension. Who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, we overwhelmingly conquer, in the Greek, through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, which we wrestle against, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God, isn't that apt? The timing of this, how we need to hear these things. Now, some are actually experiencing that. It's experiencing this. This is real for some. And we need to know, sitting in our comfort, we're being prepared, so don't let's apologise for God's blessing on our life, but we're being prepared in this time when Christ is at the right hand of the Father. This is a time of restoration, and God is preparing us to walk, to receive these things, to experience these things. Because how God balances it out, how God will work that out, we're going to look further up later on with other scriptures in this, how God will balance this out throughout the body of Christ. But he is up there at the moment, or up there in inverted commas, it's the spiritual realm, isn't it? Making intercession for us. He's speaking our redemption. He's representing us to the Father based on his precious blood. Hebrews 7:25 also says the same thing, but his precious blood and our faith, our word, our confession, our faith. And as our faith joins in with what he is saying, that's why we have laboured in the past over confession. But we have to, our words must line up with his words. Our words cannot contradict him. So if we're in faith, our positive confession, not something we have to try and strive to do and work up intellectually, but if that faith is in our hearts, it will line up with God's word. That's why we're labouring to get God's word, or to allow the Holy Spirit rather, to get God's word into our heart, so that it lines up with what our high priest, our intercessor, our shepherd, our apostle, our pastor and teacher in the heavenlies is speaking over our life. That's how he's working our redemption. Based on the fact that he's now at the Father's right hand, he's speaking that into our life. So if, for whatever reason, we choose flesh instead of the Spirit, if maybe the Lord's allowing a trial, and we're being buffeted by the enemy at the moment, and our minds are not really, it doesn't feel, shall we say, like they're the mind of Christ, we're going through a particular trial, and for some reason we end up going astray, he is still at the right hand, he's still faithful, he is still speaking our redemption before God, and the Spirit is bringing us back on the right path. The Godhead, we're going to see also later how the Godhead is at work. We're not just manifesting gifts in a sense that the gifts, because we're talking about the gifts, the office as well as body ministry, the five gifts as well as body ministry, they're not just things that happen, powers that manifest. These are expressions of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're manifestations of the Spirit. They indicate the very presence of God in that situation. Praise the Lord. It can only happen because the power of God is present to heal. There's actually a case, I believe in Luke 5, isn't there, where we're actually specifically told the power of the Lord was present to heal. Praise God. And Jesus is speaking these things into our lives. Colossians. Whatever we go through, friends, we're exhorted. Colossians chapter 3. Yes, the cross, being put to death, the self-life, we know about that. Let's have a look at that. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. If you were raised with Christ, here we go. If you were raised with Christ, have we been raised with Christ? We know by faith, don't we, that we have, yes. But also, our experience tells us that. The quality of life, the presence of God in our life, tells us, bears witness, the Holy Spirit within us. Because Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to the church. And that seed has never left the body of Christ. You can't destroy spirit. Now, I'm willing to have a discussion. I'm kind of putting my head on the block here, but people have said that, you know, with the greater works and the latter rain and sonship, that a seed, the Holy Spirit, a seed was sown, a revival at the turn of the century, and placed the seed once again of the Spirit back in the room of the church, and okay, well, more enlightened men than me have said that. I'm not arguing, I'm not disputing that. But there has always been a remnant. Every generation there has always been a remnant. The Holy Spirit, the seed of the new birth and the baptism, the Holy Spirit has always been in the remnant. You can't destroy spirit. And now some people like to talk about revival and revived or whatever, but he is restoring now in this end time. And that seed, which has never left, I believe, the womb of the church, is now being resurrected and ascended and restored. And we're going to look further at this, that the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restoration that has been spoken by all the prophets. So he is now active at the Father's right hand, putting in place the things that will bring about the kingdom of God, the greater works, the put down of all opposing rule. All his enemies are being made his footstool at this present time. And through what we just read in Romans 8, we will overwhelmingly conquer, because he is working that in our lives. He's actively working that in our lives. Amen. Praise God, from the exalted, the ultimate position of authority, from that place of exaltation. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We will never be separated from his love, because he is seeing to it that that is the case. All he requires of us is faith, but he's not leaving it to us. He's constantly quickening, encouraging, anointing, willing that faith to do what he says it will do. He prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. He's interceding at the Father's right hand, speaking the same thing to our faith, that it does not fail. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Friends, if we could just see it from the heavenly place. Our faith is as a result of what Jesus is doing. And yet there's no room for complacency, no room for apathy. Oh, well, do it then. Because it's a living, active faith. It joins in, it enters in to what Christ has done and is doing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is his healing power, is his grace going to be any less now that he's risen and ascended than it was when he walked in Israel 2,000 years ago? Is it going to be more or less or greater after the cross than it was before? Praise God. The same yesterday, today, and forever, but in one sense, much greater, that we're going to look at because of what he's done. So if we then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. He's telling us to seek what is above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. There it is. We're in him, he in us. Therefore we're sitting at the right hand of God. We are in him, where he is. That's our mindset, that's our attitude, that's our motive, that's our outlook. That should be the basis of our world view. From the exalted, from the right hand of God, from his exaltation. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Is our affection, is our mind set, truly set on things above? Or are we still on the earth? Come on, only you can answer that, only I can answer that. The challenge is going out now. Horrendous things are happening. Where is our mind? Where is our affection? Where is our thinking? What are we looking at? What are we looking to? Praise God, for you died those things on earth died. You have died, it's finished. It's over. But our life is hidden with Christ in God, and we're still struggling with that one, aren't we? But our life is hidden with Christ in God. We get frustrated. Why don't they see? Why don't they understand? Why don't they acknowledge? Where's the recognition? Because our life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, that's not a contradiction to our light shining. Light should always shine for the same reason, that it's the light of Christ. But they will not recognize our sonship. They do not see our sonship, because our life is hidden with Christ, because it is to be revealed. It's a sovereign revelation at the Father's right time, and there's no rushing it. Don't have to explain, can't explain it, don't have to apologize for it. Just experience it. That's the whole point of this title: less words, more experience. As we experience these things, our lives will speak for themselves, and it will speak of Christ at the right hand of the Father. Yes. It's a heavenly authority, dear friends. It's what God is giving. Now, the way to do this, as we all know, is, Lord, I can't do it in my own strength. So as we acknowledge that we cannot do this, that our minds are still earthbound, our minds are still on trials, feelings, what we're going through, we're still too much in this world. All right, fess up. Lord, this is it, sorry. Forgive me, Lord, this is what I'm doing. By your Spirit, get hold of my faith. Ask, this is that boldness. We've been praying for boldness, which, praise God, they did in the book of Acts. Get hold, by your Spirit, get hold of my thoughts. Get hold of my faith. Reveal to me this heavenliness. Make me heavenly minded, because I can't do it in my own strength. And as we continue bowing that knee before God, praying in the Spirit, that it's that prayer life. You see, God is in a process of restoration. From God's side, he's restoring, but from our side, we must appropriate, we must press in. That's how we know he's restoring. How do you know that these things are true? Do you know these things are true because you've read the Deeper Life book? That's a good place to start. Oh, read that book. Proper, read it, but don't bother reading it. Take it one sentence, one truth at a time, one paragraph at a time, and pray it through. And it is in the prayer, it is in the trials that are attached to it, because you'll be pointed to Scripture. So it's the Word. Don't be afraid, because it's the man's ministry. He points you to the Word. The Holy Spirit, through that, will point you to Scripture. And as we pray about it, and as we seek God, he confirms the vision by what it costs and by how it changes our life. It will be confirmed to us by the Spirit, primarily through those two things: the cost and the change in our life. That's how we can say amen. That's how we will know it's true, because the Spirit of truth will confirm it. But only if we've got that prayer life. Only if we're actually seeking him about these things. Praise God. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. There's the seal. There's the ultimate seal of our redemption. There's that promise. Christ, who is our life. He is our life, isn't he, brothers and sisters? When he appears, we also will appear with him in glory. Where, because we're already there now by faith, spiritually. Praise God. Let's look at that in the book of Acts. I don't know if you would describe your circumstances as desperate. I don't know if personally, individually, what you're facing. We're hearing of some horrendous things. But God is working. God is working some things out in the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 3, we know of this miracle that the that Peter and John, they went to the temple, and there was this lame man that had been there 40 years. Jesus would have passed him every time he went into the temple. He was there when Jesus was about. But the Spirit didn't move Jesus to raise him up. And we know why now, don't we, when we read Acts 3. This was because what he was going to do through his church. I want to take this up then in verse 16, because there's a principle that I want us to see here. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. So he was raised up, and all the Israelites there, they were amazed, they were astonished. What's happened? It's amazing. And he says, his name, Peter's, this is, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him. Hello out there. Where does the faith come from? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Comes from our effort. Because we pray and fast and study all day long. It comes through him. Has given him this, and praise God, you know what I'm going to say now, don't you? Prayer, fasting and study has its place, right? Praise God. But it comes from him. Glory to the living God. Has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, it's faith in his name. When Jesus said, he gave the revelation to Peter, do you remember in Matthew 16, that whatever you bind will have already been bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will already have been loosed on earth. So Peter is now, this is now being worked out in Peter's life. When that happened, because of they were preaching in Jesus' name, the religious people, the Pharisees, got upset, put them in prison. They punished them. Right. So, they were arrested. Okay. And they were then going to be brought out to the Sanhedrin. Let's skip down then to chapter 4. So they were beaten, they were punished. And so what was their response? In Acts chapter 4, we'll start with verse 23. They were then let go. So being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now, these are chief priests, right? Religious people who were doing the beating, who were doing the persecuting. Okay. When they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, against his anointed. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Not what they wanted, but what God determined. Look at them appealing to the sovereignty of God. They're getting bolder now. They're seeing God's hand at work through this because their minds are so set on heavenly things. They're not seeing the beating. They're not seeing the earthly things. They're seeing God in all of this. Now, Lord, okay. Look, this is how we do it. This is here for a reason. This is how we're to respond to the things that happen. It isn't light, it isn't easy, but this is how we're to go about it. Look on their threats. They say, now Lord, look at their threats. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. It's the word. What? By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Praise God, they weren't shrinking back because of a few beatings. They sought more. Now, here's the thing that I'm trying to say. We look at Moses on the edge of the Red Sea there, with all the Israelites, surrounded by the mountains, Red Sea in front, the Egyptian army pursuing them, dire strait. And he prayed to the Lord, didn't he? But God, what did God say to him? He said, lift up that rod, what's that in your hand? Now the reason he said that was because that's how God got them out of Egypt in the first place. When God met him at the burning bush, he showed him those signs through that rod in his hand. So he expected more of Moses. That's all that is. Now, Peter said through his Jesus' name, through faith is in his name. And yet here he is praying to God that he would stretch forth his hand, that the Lord Jesus would stretch forth his hand to heal. So what is it then? Is it God stretching forth his hand, or is it faith in his name? Does God require us to lift up that rod of authority in the name and through faith in the blood of Jesus? Or do we call on him to do it? Well, remember, whatever we bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through our faith in the name of Jesus, he's working out on earth what has already been done in heaven. It's both. It's that partnership. Don't make it a contradiction. It's that wonderful partnership that what God has done in heaven, he's working through our lives, through our faith on earth. We're entering in to what God has done. So through our faith in the name of Jesus, praise God, you can rest assured he is stretching forth his hand to heal and work those signs and wonders through your message. These signs will follow the specially anointed apostle. What does your Bible say in Mark 16? These signs will follow those that believe in my name, they. Because why? Because I am stretching forth my hand from heaven to heal and to work those signs and wonders.
Glory
to the living God. Aren't we told we look? Well, let's have a quick look in Mark 16. Verse 20 of Mark 16 says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. God working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Says at the end, amen. Yeah, it's true. He did. Praise God. It's his presence, friends. He is working with us with those signs. Our faith, but he's doing it. Let's have a look in John 14. John chapter 14. Verses 12 to 14. John 14, 12 to 14. Most assuredly. So, Jesus, he didn't have to say most assuredly, did he? Because it's him speaking. But he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. We read this too quickly. It's too familiar. We go over it too quickly. Those who believe will do what he did. Those who believe will do what he did. And greater than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That's the ascension. He's gone to his Father. And because of that, we now who believe will not only do what he did, but greater works. Praise the living God. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There he is. Our faith. But he's doing it. It's something he's doing through a simple act of faith, that living act of faith, that committed prayer life. He's bringing God to us. Heaven on earth, we're waiting. So many of our brothers and sisters, whatever they may be, I'm not their judge, but so many are thinking in terms of, I'm waiting to go to heaven. I want to go up to heaven. Heaven is already here. Yes, it is. I know we're on earth walking through it, but it's the spiritual realm. It's the realm of the spirit. It pervades this realm. If we're spirit-filled and we're experiencing God's presence in us, through us and around us, heaven is already here. We're already in heaven because we're seated at the right hand of God in Christ. Worth thinking about for a moment, isn't it? That's where our authority comes from. That's where our fear of God is. Because he's here, he sees and he hears everything. Glory to God. That's why we don't do certain things, because of our love for him. It's a motivation for holiness, isn't it? Purity of heart and mind and mouth and contact and conduct. Praise God. Faith and holiness motivated by a fear of God, because he is here. He is present. That's one of his redemptive covenant names. Isn't it? The Lord is present. Praise God. Hallelujah. Based on the fact that he is now seated at the right hand of God. Back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, we've mentioned it. In verse 21, whom, speaking of Christ, heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Praise God. This is a time of restoration. Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, and he's putting those things in place. He's laying the foundation of his kingdom. He's getting things, he's setting up, if you like, the administration of his kingdom, his government, where you and I are going to rule and reign with him. We can see this in John chapter 14. Going back there, John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Hallelujah.
He's preparing your place.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. I'm in the process of moving at the moment and decorating a place, and it's horrendous. I'm having to decorate and set it all up, and it's a pain. But my heavenly estate, glory to God. Jesus himself is up there preparing my and your eternal habitation, where we're going to rule and reign with him. Praise God. Making full provision for where, on all of those things, all the blessings, all the benefits of it, where we're going to rule and reign with him. Praise God, he's up there preparing. Wonderful, isn't it? Now, you think of his sovereignty, you think of his omniscience. He's preparing a place. He knows all our rewards, where we're going to end up. But from day to day, we don't know that. We're making our calling and election sure. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, him working in us, both to will and to do, for his good pleasure. We don't know fully where we're going to end up. But every day we're confronted with a choice that will affect that. But he knows the end. Where he knows where we're going to end up. And yet he leaves us free to make those choices. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's wonderful, isn't it? But he's working it. He's speaking it. He's willing it. He's preparing it. And he is also making sure that we, as we opened in Romans 8, are not separated from his love. He's working that. It's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, as we begin to bring this to a conclusion. I just want to show you, if you don't already know, I'm sure you do, but let's have a look at this. Because these aren't the gifts, is it? But the gifts, praise God, for sure. But let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I want us to have a new understanding of what it is when we're praying for people's healing, when we're in a situation, we're praying for boldness. You know, we've just read there from Acts that he wants us to be bold in his presence, bold with him, to ask for those signs and wonders, that he is glorified through his word. Let's have a look at this in 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, spirituals, really manifestations of the Spirit, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you're saying it savingly, if it's a convincing, if it's a true confession, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit's put that in your heart tonight. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Right? So various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Spirit, Lord, God. There we have the triune Godhead at work in the church, through the church, various gifts and ministries. The entire Godhead at work in our redemption, in and through our ministry. And he's speaking that from ultimate authority at the right hand of the Father. And our faith, 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. We are one spirit with all that we've been looking at tonight. Glory to God. Worth thinking about, isn't it? Worth meditating on. Worth praying that through, is it not? He is restoring. The heaven is receiving him until the time of restoration. This is significant. This is our world view. And in that work, the heaven receiving, that means there is going to come a time, which we know, when he'll come back for his church, the work done. You and I are entering in to that work. You and I are entering into that labour. Our fullness is on God's calendar as a time when he'll come back for his church. These are the times we're living in. And our prayer life, our faith, our labour, our bent knee before God enters in to that. We're not just being religious, you need to pray more, you need to study more. We're not doing that. Prayer causes us to enter in to that realm. That's why the devil opposes it so much. That's why it's so difficult. That's why we have a wrong attitude about it, because demons have put in our minds, and we're silly enough to believe it and listen to them, that prayer is difficult. It's a chore. Do I have to? I'm tired. That's why. Because the devil doesn't want us entering in to this glorious work of restoration. He doesn't want you and I being mightily used in God's hand to bring down his kingdom. Now that's what prayer is. And you just thought it was claiming a healing, didn't you? Praise God. That's where we start. Praise God. That's where it starts. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Praise God. So go for it. It's yours. Appropriate it. But it's so much bigger than that. This is what we're entering into. And when God, when the Lord manifests those apostles and prophets in the body of Christ, we're going to experience this in an immediate, mighty and living way. We're about to look at the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That heavenly authority. You know, the apostles do things, you think, well, where did that come from? Well, we're going to see that the authority that God has given to apostles. Mm-hmm. And that anointing, that experience, that revelation of the heavens is going to be not just for the apostle, but through that apostle, for you, for the church, to serve the body of Christ. God wants to raise up these men to serve the body of Christ, to build the body of Christ, so that through the witness of the church, those in the world, those of, who belong to the Lord, that is, will get saved, mightily saved, properly saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and set in their ministry in the body of Christ. God is restoring these things. He's restoring divine order. There are many people writing books about how the devil is trying to destroy the church. And I'm sure that's true. But a lot of it is sensation because it's selling those books. My Bible tells me, according to what Jesus himself said, that the gates of Hades will not prevail against what he's raising up. Now it is true. The devil is trying to destroy the church. It is true. Yes, there are principalities coming against this assembly, not attacking it, trying to destroy it. But is God going to leave us in his hands? In the devil's hands? Is he going to? No. Praise God. Now, he's raising up those. Isn't he? All of us, really. But some have an insight into that realm. And we all have an authority in the name of Jesus. That's why he's calling us to prayer. So that in turn, what the devil's trying to do to destroy, throughout scripture we see that it's God's people who put to flight God's enemies. He's God's enemy as well as ours. So praise God, we're entering in now a warfare. These horrendous things are happening to our dear brothers and sisters in India. Get on our knees, friends. Let's enter into that warfare. And our specific prayer is that they would know that they are not separated from the love of God. Amen. Oh, my heart goes out to that poor sister. Had she known that? Oh, that's the teaching of the word. That's why these messages, so that the body of Christ knows, no matter what we go through, we're not separated Amen. From God's love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
And that's his authority, that's his power, being worked out in our lives through simple faith. Praise God. Praise God. Don't we want to make ourselves available to minister to these people? That's what it's about. We can start through prayer. It's as we spend that time in prayer that that heavenly authority, that that knowledge of God's love is made known to all of our brothers and sisters. Glory to the living God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot more I want to say in this. I'm gonna leave it there for this evening. There'll be more that comes through this. because there's a lot in this. This is the kingdom. This is what God is preparing us for now, in restoring divine order, so that he can give a full revelation of himself through the body of Christ, to the body of Christ, and to the world before judgment. He's preparing this planet for judgment, and judgment must begin first at the house of God. He's cleansing, he's purging, he's removing all that the enemy can accuse. Because if there's, how can God judge the world for sin if that sin still exists in the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. So that's why he's cleansing us like he is, preparing us, purifying us, so that he can then reveal himself fully to the world through the body of Christ. And this is how he's doing it, friends. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. I'll come back next week, God willing, with even more. There's so much in this that God wants to bless us with. Friends, your prayers, don't ever think, oh, well, I'm not of this and I'm not that. Your prayers, you're just being here, is part of that glorious end time process. Amen. Praise the living God. God bless you, brethren, and Lord willing, more, unless the Lord comes, praise God. Lord willing, more next week. Hallelujah. God bless you, brethren. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
To the perfect life of Jesus, all the all.